Okay, I guess I asked this question. Can you be a conservative and a Republican? But we all know it's all just fake news.
Hello and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for August 20th, 2018. I'm Janine Fadich and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Yay, and Janine Fadich is back. So
can you
yay.
Believe it is August 20th?
Well, I can't believe you're back.
Wasn't I here last week? No, I wasn't. You're right.
No, no.
Confused.
Wow. Really? You thought you hadn't been here for 2 weeks in a row?
Well, I'm old. It's hard to remember. No, I was here for 1 week.
Were you?
Yeah, I was like gone, then back, then gone.
Okay.
And we're going to be gone next week, 2 weeks, next 2 weeks.
Yeah. So, wow. Well, it's summer. We can do this.
It is summer.
In the winter, we'll just all be hunkered down and, you know, be freezing temperatures and all that. So, anyway, thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. I just had my teeth cleaned, so is the sound better?
You sound clearer, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think I sound cleaner.
You definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like all shiny now.
So, I mean, I asked the question, and in the intro, can you be a conservative and a Republican? A lot of conservatives and a lot of Republicans are asking that question nowadays, but I don't want to jump ahead because Janine gets all upset at me.
Well, that's right. We'll just go to that.
Really?
Yes.
All right, so go to it.
Braindead says, my understanding is that real conservatives don't support anyone who commits treason. Real conservatives also frown on money laundering and most forms of corruption. And I've heard they're not so keen on increasing deficits.
Yeah, conservatives' record on deficits, I'm going to disagree with you on that one just because it's been abysmal. But on other things like free markets, free minds, constitution, stuff like that, yeah, we kind of like it. You know, we do. That's why I am what I am. I think markets, as ugly and messy as they can get, are the organic solution to almost any problem comes from there. So, you're absolutely right. Braindead's absolutely right on a lot of those points.
So at the end of that strip, you mentioned fake news, and that's what really stirred people up.
Really?
Yes. So George
So the Trumpism, that didn't stir him up, but fake news. Okay. That's fascinating.
Did.
Okay.
All right. Because George Harmon wants to know, so are you advocating the creation of some false information being pushed as news, quote unquote, by certain networks? Do you also agree that when false information is pushed as news, quote unquote, there should be no punishment, quote unquote? When I was caught lying by my parents, I got an ass whooping. I learned to be truthful. Too bad society now just accepts these lies and falsehoods, mostly from the left, that are okay because they don't like President Trump. To which,
oh my goodness,
Bookworm responded, as opposed to the thoroughly fact-checked, vetted reports of Fox Cable News, I presume, or the absolutely verifiable veracity of certain presidential tweets, posts, spoken comments, and asides of President Trump?
Yeah, I'm sorry. The guy lies constantly. I mean, I know politicians are supposed to do that, but he's raised it up to, you know,
Art form.
Well, no, not really an art form, because that implies thought and panache, and he has neither. I'm sorry. I get this a lot. Obviously, my day job is the editorial cartoonist of the Chicago Tribune, and you know, I get people asking me, why do you guys post or print fake news? I'm going, what in the name of God are you talking about? And they say, well, you post fake news. I go, really? Tell me which fake news we've printed, please. And of course, I'm thinking zero times zero times zero. Yeah, zero. They can't tell me because it doesn't generally happen. Mistakes happen.
Right.
No question about it. But as far as legitimate mainstream media sources, the guys and women in the newsroom are liberal. They are, overwhelmingly. But they work very hard at getting the story right. And anyone who tells you differently is trying to sell you something, trying to create a smokescreen, and also try to diminish the Fourth Estate, which is essential to your democracy, people. Anyone who says things like the mainstream media is the enemy of the people, well, no, go to hell. You're wrong. You are so wrong. On the wrongometer of 1 to 10, you're like a 93, because they're not. Because the only way corrupt politicians, the only way demagogues survive is when there isn't a vibrant press.
And Wojcicki says, I think the ending comment is meant as a criticism of fake news as opposed to an endorsement. She believes in a free press, not one beholden to one party or another. That said, who gets to decide what news should be punished and which one shouldn't? Once you start actually punishing people for sharing news, no matter how false it may be, you set the stage for the government to justify shutting down all sources of news it doesn't like. The whole problem with the fake news industry is people started thinking Facebook and Twitter were reliable sources. The New York Times or Fox News may not be much better, but at least they have a thin, very thin, veneer of professionalism. You want to end fake news? Stop listening to it. Block people who send it to you. Check all news stories against one or two other sources, especially sources that you think are opposed to the politics of the originating source. If you are looking to the internet for a view of reality, you shouldn't be allowed to vote.
I couldn't agree more with most of that. You know, we need to, I believe in the First Amendment. I'm a First Amendment absolutist. I think stupid people, I think racists, I think black nationalists, I think, you know, every color of the political rainbow should be able to speak. And I especially want stupid people to speak because I want to know if they're stupid. It points them out. But when it comes to, you're absolutely right. We have a friend, we'll go unnamed, but they post stuff on the web and you have told them that that's incorrect. And there was an instance where they said they didn't care. That, you know, well, it confirms, it gets the tone of what I believe. Well, that's not a fact.
Right. And I've had family members where I've had to go through and say, okay, this is the real story here. And I've checked it from several sources. So you're not getting the whole story. Here's the whole story.
Correct. And so, you know, I think you have to work harder at being a news consumer, and I understand that, especially guys my age. You know, I'm almost 60. Janine's almost 30, and you know, so we grew up in an environment where you trusted the news environment, the news sources, and the fact of the matter is, CBS News, NBC News, ABC News, the New York Times, whatever local newspaper you had the monetary resources to cover these stories and cover them thoroughly, and put in different levels of vetting so that the stories were accurate. Those are gone now because you refused. And I'm going to, yeah, I'm pointing at you. Yeah, I'm looking right at you. You don't buy a newspaper. And if you don't buy a newspaper, if you don't at least pay for a digital subscription, then you are essentially letting the bad guys win.
And 24-hour news stations have to fill it with something, so they tend to fill it with opinion. And I think people get confused as to whether that opinion is facts or not.
Right.
Well, it's not.
Yes.
Generally,
well, the nighttime, especially for MSNBC and Fox, the nighttime broadcasting and the nighttime programming is all opinion. So, yeah, Hannity's not a news source. Matlin is not a... is that a name? From MSNBC.
Rachel Maddow?
Maddow. That's not news. They get facts, but they use facts. They use facts like debaters. They're making a point, and they use the facts. They pick and choose the facts that they pick to corroborate and support their arguments. But that's not news. News is someone saying this happened today. This bill passed today. The repercussions are it's going to, according to the best sources, Office of Management and Budget or whatever, is that it's been vetted, and this is how much this is going to cost. This is how much this is going to drive up the deficit. Things like that. Those are news stories. So, yeah, you have to be more particular. I think people are basically lazy. Man, I don't blame them. I mean, you know, you have a life. You have things to do.
Well, you didn't have to do that before. You just read it one place, and generally that was the truth. But now you have to double-check everything.
Right. So I would just encourage everyone to just try. Maybe I'll do that as a series on Prickly City, actually. I was just thinking of what to write about. So I'll write about that, being a better news consumer. Thank you. What else do we have?
Well, you also said, you know, we were discussing whether that Carmen had to pick a side. And AJR58 says, if you do not like the sides available, create your own. Knight Gaunt responded, only two sides are allowed as done by the D's and R's back in the 80s. All others are left out. To which Winston5610 responds, nonetheless, I refuse to vote for one candidate because I can't stand the other. I'll vote third party. I will scratch my ballot.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? Oh, but you mentioned third party. I'm sorry, you just because the ADD is kicking in, so here we go. Hang on tight, folks. But Gary Johnson, presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party in 2016, is doing something historic. He has thrown his hat into the ring and running as a Libertarian for the U.S. Senate from the state of New Mexico. And the fact that why is this interesting? Well, firstly, because he's a two-term governor from New Mexico. And so he's won statewide office twice, both pretty handily. And the second time, I think it was like 60% or thereabouts. And so he's got a good shot at winning. which would be great. You know, the idea of having yet another independent voice in the Senate makes me very, very happy. So Gary Johnson, and if you want it, I think it's Gary number 4NM is the hashtag. So go ahead and check it out, because I'm kind of excited because he's been on the podcast. One of the few times we've had guests, and yes, it was him and Governor Weld, who were the presidential and vice presidential candidates. It was I liked him. I liked Gary Johnson very much and endorsed him in the strip. So I'm kind of, what else do I talk about? Conservative, Republican, we've had this discussion before. I don't, you know, the Republican Party is throwing in with Donald Trump, and I'm disgusted by this, only because he doesn't support the things that true Republicans or true conservatives, from my perspective, are or should be, you know? So, you know, can you be both? I think it's hard. I think it's becoming almost impossible. And should the Republicans hold the House by some miracle this November, I think that the Republican Party truly then and truly and seriously and profoundly becomes the party of Trump. And you have to ask yourself if that's the party you want to belong to. So, are there other comments or anything?
Yeah, Holden On said something interesting. He said, the appearance of the Tea Party movement in the early 2000s and the Occupy movement about a decade later signaled the deterioration of the two major American political parties. The Democrat base is adrift and disorganized and under serious pressure from the left, while the Republican base has lost sight of its conservative ideals under the populist pressure of Trumpists. Notably lacking from either major party is any push for fiscal responsibility or restraint. And Dog Day also says, and any push for personal morality, ethics, or integrity.
Which also leads me to see there's also no room for compromise. Now, I know that's become such a dirty word nowadays. Oh, my God. You believe in compromise? You want to be a Democrat? No, I don't. I want to be. But you know what? The Democrats have good ideas occasionally. It's not often, but it does happen, in my view.
And the Republicans can have good ideas occasionally, too, even if it's not often, in my view.
See, folks, even if Ginny and I can get together, then so can Democrats.
But compromise is important to keep things from going from one extreme to another, and I think that's how the government was set up, that you needed to compromise.
Yeah, exactly. And
everybody doesn't agree.
Well, and you can agree halfway. There can be compromise on almost any issue, but when you have one party, you know, this has been the pattern now for what, 20 years, maybe 15, of one party takes over House, Senate, and the White House, and they push their agenda and it gets passed, and then the other party comes in and they wipe out that agenda and put in their agenda, and then the other party comes in and wipes out their agenda and installs their agenda. It just goes back and forth, and it's crazy, versus someplace in the middle, someplace where you know, this is a good idea, is it too extreme, can we go halfway and see what works? Incrementalism is not terrible. Thinking down the road further than the next election is not a crime and is not to be sneered at, but we're in a political environment now where it absolutely is, and that's a darn shame.
So we're going to leave it on this.
Okay.
You had Winslow thinking of running for Congress, holding a sign, and Ziba Naba 1985 says, I think I may write his name in for senator. And in 2020, I'll write in Carmen for the GOP presidential primary.
There you go. Well, there you go. I like that. I will leave it on that. Excellent choices. So thank you so much for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. Janine, thanks. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Are you here for a while? Well, we're not.
We're not. We're going to be.
We're going to be gone for the next 2 weeks.
Yes, next 2 podcasts.
Okay.
My dad is turning 90.
Yay. Yay, Bert. So, thank you. And I'm glad you're back. It's nice to have you. Anyone listen to the podcast when you're not here, it kind of rambles and gets sad. So thank you. And thank you, Brian Altimer, our wonderful producer here at WGN. And thank you, WGN and WGN Plus, for providing all the stuff so we can do this and make it sound so professional.
Yes.
Why are you laughing?
I just laugh.
Okay. Hey, listen, if you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, you're more than welcome to go to gocomics.com/prickly city and go ahead and register and hit the little heart and like it and like whatever else you want to like, because there's a lot there. It's a very deep site and you register for free and you can get stuff emailed to you for free, and it's kind of awesome. And if you want to have something to say, then leave it there. Maybe we'll read it on the podcast. So, yeah, again, that's Prickly City. You can go to it at gocomics.com/prickly city, or if you want to contact us directly, please do so. Just write to us at pricklycity@gmail.com. For all of us here, and for Janine, yay, who's back, and for myself, I want to thank you, and until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.